When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはニュースエピソードです。 You're listening to Japan Top 10 The number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to a news episode on Japan
Top 10. Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 522 of Japan Top 10 News Summer of 2024 episode. I'm Haley.
And I'm Kusei. Before we get into our episode, we have a couple of announcements to make. We're currently looking for a new on-air host to volunteer and join our podcast. If you're interested, please have a look on our website at jtop10.jp/join for the full details on how to apply. If you love Japanese music culture, then this really will be a great opportunity for you.
Are you an indie band or artist that makes Japanese music and looking to be featured on our podcast? Reach out to our music director, Nola, by sending her an email at nola@jtop10.jp. We may feature you on a future episode. See our website at jtop10.jp for more information.
Would you like to advertise on our podcast? Market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese culture-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that'll fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp to find out an advertising plan that'll suit your company's needs.
Want to hear more music on our episodes? Join our Patreon club at jtop10.jp/club, starting at just $1 a month, and support our podcast, along with getting more music and insights to Japanese music culture.
So our first topic is headlines from Japan. Japan Sakana AI, a Tokyo-based startup founded last year that develops nature-inspired AI based on evolution and collective intelligence, is in talks with US venture capital firms New Enterprise Associates, Kosla Ventures, and Lux Capital to raise $125 million in funding that valued the company at $1.1 billion, the fastest jump to unicorn status by a Japanese company, unicorn companies being a privately held startup company with a valuation of $1 billion or more. The company was one of seven institutions to receive a supercomputing grant from the Japanese government and has also received funding from KDDI, Sony Group, and NTT. Sakana AI was founded last year by former Google researchers David Ha and Leon Jones, and former foreign ministry official and Mercery executive Ran Ito. Sakana AI focuses on using evolutionary algorithms for automating the design of foundational models with low cost and power requirements.
As someone going into the computer field in the future, what do you think of this?
It's always exciting that companies not just from North America, but also Asia and Europe are getting into AI and gaining unicorn status. So it's always neat to see more developments in the field of AI, I should say.
That's really cool. I don't know much about AI, but I know you like the computers. So thank you for your insight.
Right, of course.
All right, our next topic is Goodbye Dr. Yellow. Central Japan Railway is ending service in its Shinkansen Dr. Yellow, a yellow-colored high-speed test train used on the Tokaido Shinkansen and Sanyo Shinkansen. Dr. Yellow Shinkansen are painted bright yellow and its schedule is not made public, making it a popular spectacle for the Japanese public. The current Dr. Yellow Class 923 was introduced in 2001 and runs between Tokyo and Hakata stations once every 10 days. Seeing it in operation is believed to bring the viewer good luck. On June 13th, 2024, JR Central and JR West announced that they would terminate the use of the Dr. Yellow after 2027. The trains are scheduled to be replaced with the commercial N700S series Shinkansen trains for testing.
I sometimes see videos of Dr. Yellow Shinkansen on YouTube, like, and people are just so excited to spot these elusive trains. It's just neat. It's sad that they'll be going away, I guess. Have you heard of the Dr. Yellow trains before?
I've not. Japan has so many, like, cool things to go see. So I can see, like, people really excited about, like, going and seeing these, especially since they're so rare to spot. So it's sad that they're stopping it. Who knows what their new trains are going to bring.
It's sad that they'll be replacing, like, the, or just getting rid of, like, this real-life Easter egg, but I guess it might be for safety reasons, or maybe it's not efficient. I mean, who knows?
It'll end in 2027 and 2001, so 26 years. So I think that's one of those, possibly just kind of a revamp. Like I said, I'm not sure what the N700S series is going to consist of, but maybe it's going to do another Easter egg thing, just not the same.
Well, could be. Anyways, goodbye, Dr. Yellow, and hopefully the new trains will be beneficial somehow.
Yes, take a trip to Japan, see Dr. Yellow before 2027.
On my to-do list. Up next, we have the headline, the first facial recognition ticketing system in Japan. The Yamaman Yukari Gaoka Line, a people mover operated by Yamaman Co. Ltd. in Sakura, Chiba, launched a new facial recognition system in June. Passengers will need to register their photo, credit card, and other information online in advance. Cameras installed at the ticket gate will confirm their face, allowing them to board with their fare paid automatically via credit card. The operator said that the cost to provide passenger tickets is expected to decrease by about 30%.
That's very interesting. I'm trying to think of where the relation comes from of the photo ID and then the costs decreasing in 30%. Perhaps because they don't have to supply the physical cards?
Oh, sure. Yeah, could be.
That's my theory. I think it's very handy if, like, you don't have to carry something around with you or cash, because I've had to start taking the bus recently, and it's always a pain for me, like, oh, if I forget my bus card, I never have cash on me. And so then I, like, can't take the bus. So I think this could be handy.
Perhaps paper tickets could be a liability in the long run, or could be costly to print and maintain, so this might be circumventing that. I mean, it's pretty cool that Japan's such a pioneer in the transportation industry. Whenever there's, like, a cool technology, it's either from, like, San Francisco or Japan, as far as I've seen. Like, you know what I mean, with San Francisco introducing self-driving cars and stuff, and Japan also having their Shinkansen and all these new advancements in bullet trains.
Something I think Japan does better, since you brought up California, in my own opinion as an American, is that they, whenever there's, like, a new public transportation system or a new transportation system in general, it's targeted at the vast majority of the public. Hmm. But, like, in our case, American public transportation, practically non-existent, unless you're in, like, a big city. And so whenever we get, like, a new high-tech car, not a lot of people can afford it. So usually whenever there is an advancement in technology, only, like, the upper middle or the high class can afford one.
So I had some friends come over from Tokyo, and we were in, like, this Eastern European city, and they were just appalled by how bad their transportation and traffic infrastructure could be. Like, how there was so much traffic, and how the traffic lights system wasn't as advanced as they had in Japan. It was like a huge culture shock to them, or so they told me. Meanwhile, me living in that area, don't think much of it.
I feel like when you go from, like, this high expectation and then you go to a different country that just doesn't provide it, it's definitely something strange. Although I can't imagine any other country, like, paring with Japan's transportation. Up next, we have a new museum of manga / anime to be built in Tokyo. A new art center dedicated to the collection, preservation, and exhibition of original Japanese manga artwork and anime cells will be operational in fiscal 2028, tentatively named the Media Arts National Center. It is designed to prevent original artwork and animation cells from being lost or transferred overseas. Japan's Cultural Affairs Agency will put in a budget request to the cabinet to design a storage facility for manga and animation cells to be stored at the National Film Archive in Japan. with a training institution for the preservation, research, and study of manga and animation to be built at the National Art Center in Minato, Tokyo. The center will also include interviews, idea notes, and other materials. The collection and preservation of manga has been traditionally held by private institutions, such as Kyoto International Manga Museum, but is limited to its funding and storage capabilities. The government hopes to work with the private sector to boost Japan's content industry. See, now that's cool. This is what I would like my tax dollars to go to, is... Sure. I'm a big anime nerd, and so sadly I don't read as much manga, but I'm a big anime nerd, so this is, like, to me, peak things to be doing.
Right, definitely. I mean, anime and manga are just a huge source of soft power, like cultural influence for Japan anyways, internationally. So, I mean, it only makes sense for the government to really embrace and preserve content. But I agree with you. I do love me some anime and manga, so it's great that government's doing that. Our next headline is Tokyo Governor Race Begins This Summer. The first Tokyo gubernatorial election in which the two leading candidates are women will be held on July 7th. Yuriko Koike is seeking a third four-year term as governor and is running against opposition leader Reno, a four-term upper house member of the Constitutional Democratic Party of Japan. Both candidates began their careers as TV newscasters. Both have publicly declared their aspiration to become prime minister. Reno is a vocal critic of the LDP, while Koike will be supported by the leading party this election.
Now for our first song, Kimi to Natsufe by Shishamo.
Bye.
And that was Kimi to Natsu Fesu by Shishamo. Shishamo is a three-piece band forming Kawasaki Kanagawa in 2010. They won the grand prize at a local music contest before releasing their debut CD, Shukudai ga Owaranai, The Homework Never Ends, in 2011. Oh boy, can I relate. The band celebrated their 10th anniversary with a performance at Budokan in 2023.
Kimi to Natsu Fesu was released in 2014 after the band's second national tour, where it placed number 16 on the Billboard Japan Hot 100.
The music video is filmed at the music festival Viva La Rock. Popular events like Summer Sonic, Fuji Rock Festival, Osaka Gigantic Music Festival, Rock in Japan Festival, Rising Sun Rock Festival, and other music festivals are commonly held during the summer in Japan.
I mean, considering that the song itself is called Kimi to Natsu Fesu, or Summer Festival with You, it's pretty fitting for a summer news episode and also for summer festivals in Japan.
Yes, I've never actually been to a music festival, so I'd be very curious to see like how a Japanese one compares to like an American one. What are they like in Turkey, do you know?
I mean, artists just come on stage and play, and their drinks served, like lemonade and water and soda and stuff. You know, just an extended concert. It's a pretty fun song though, pretty upbeat, energetic. I like Shishamo's guitar a lot in some of their other songs. It's always really, you know, explosive in a way. I mean, not in a heavy metal kind of explosive, but it doesn't go too bass heavy. It was just quite upbeat.
It was actually my first time hearing them, and so I really liked their sound. They kind of reminded me of another band, but I can't think of the name of the other one I was thinking of. But the tone of the girl's voice is very high, but very clear. And so you can hear exactly what she was saying. I liked them for a first round. I would like to listen to that. Now on to topic two, otaku announcements. First up, we got gaming news. The highly anticipated Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree released on June 21st. Players must complete most of the main story and defeat the game boss before getting access to downloadable content.
The latest expansion for Final Fantasy XIV, Dawntrail, releases this July 2nd with early access for pre-orders available from June 28. Players must have completed Final Fantasy XIV Endwalker and complete a certain quest to play new content. The latest addition includes new dungeons, raids, and other challenges with expansive new lifestyle content for crafters and gatherers.
The 8th expansion of Destiny 2, The Final Shape, released on June 4th, 2024. And is the final content pack for the series Light and Darkness Saga. The new installment features the first ever 12-player versus environment location. Whoa, 12 players. I can't imagine who's splitting that screen. I can't do the Mario Kart with four.
I mean, I don't think it'd be split screen. I guess 12 people join from their own respective computers, but a 12-player split screen would be a nightmare. Yeah.
It'd be kind of like where Animal Crossing, you have your own device, but you can like go and explore the same area.
I mean, Destiny 2 is a game like that. I used to play, but it was like 5 years ago, I guess, and the game got really grindy. You have to like do a lot of quests just to get a single weapon, so
oh, man.
I gave up on it. Anyways, it's cool to see that Destiny 2 is still going strong. Hope people enjoy this new saga. Next up, we have anime news. Studio Bones announced that they'll adapt Gachiakuta by manga artist Kei Urana and graffiti artist Hideyoshi Ando in 2025. Studio Bones is best known for adapting My Hero Academia, Fullmetal Alchemist, and Mob Psycho 100. Gachiakuta is a manga that was first serialized in Kodansha's weekly shonen magazine in 2022. It follows Rudo, a boy from the slums of a wealthy society where the upper class discards trash and exiles criminals into a massive dump called the Pit. Falsely accused of murder, Rudo is thrown into the pit and find himself in a dangerous place littered with garbage and giant trash beasts. He is rescued by a group called the Cleaners, who have powers to turn well cared for objects into weapons. Rudo awakens to his own power to turn any object into into a weapon, using a special pair of gloves received from his childhood guardian. He joins the cleaners to seek their help in returning to his former world and exacting his revenge. The adaptation will be directed by Fumihiko Suganuma, unit director for the first Slam Dunk, and written by Hiroshi Seko of Chainsaw Man fame.
Man, what a perfect concept for a Japanese anime. It was just kind of out there, so, and sometimes the best anime is just has some of the strangest concepts.
When you think about it, it could be like an allegory for, you know, whatever.
Touche, touche.
You know, like society.
Following the last episode of Delicious in Dungeon, Kurokawa announced that the second season is currently in production. The popular adaptation of the manga by Rokokui follows a group of travelers who decide to source all their food from inside a dungeon, hunting monsters for sustenance and learning how to cook from a dwarf named Senshi. Delicious in Dungeon was released on Netflix overseas in weekly episodes, marking a departure from the platform's binge-watching model.
Now, speaking of anime that's out there, like Delicious in Dungeon is such a strange concept. I see it on Netflix sometimes. I haven't really watched it, but people seem to be liking it, so...
I heard about it because two songs from the top 10 countdown script, like two of the songs on there were from that anime.
Right.
And I have not seen it, just because it kind of... The title kind of reminded me of Danmachi, Can You Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? And
Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, so I figured it'd be kind of along the lines of the same concept, just cooking themed. And so I was I haven't like checked it out yet, but considering how popular it is, it might be worth watching.
The upcoming anime series Suicide Squad Isekai debuts on June 27th. Based on the team Suicide Squad from DC Comics, it'll be directed by Vid Studio with the theme songs by Tomoyasu Hotei and Mori Calliope. The story follows Harley Quinn, the Joker, Peacemaker, Deadshot, and other familiar DC characters who end up in another world of magic and monsters, and must get back home within 72 hours before their nanobombs detonate. I am looking forward to this anime. Studio Vid usually does high quality content, and the trailer seemed pretty fun, so yeah, looking forward to that. It's also interesting how Mori Calliope is doing a theme song for this, considering that she's a VTuber.
I don't have much to say on this topic. I've actually never seen Suicide Squad, like the live action film, so I guess that's on my to-do list before watching this isekai.
And I don't mean anything bad when I said considering that she's a VTuber, it's just interesting that, but it's nice and surprising that they're also doing theme songs for anime now.
I think it depends on like what they try and do, because VTuber just basically means that it's a virtual image you see. I know of a singer who started just singing, and then I guess VTuber came out, and so now she does do the songs, but like has that virtual image up, and so she kind of converted into a VTuber.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I think this person is also like a songwriter, but they have a couple of songs and albums.
Now we have song 2, Mugen by My First Story and Hide.
Dame o nonda seo takazo no namae wo oeta tatareru hodo koko
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
My first story is a Japanese rock band formed in 2011.
They won the 2023 Japan Records Award for Best Lyrics for the song I'm a Mess.
The band performs the songs Mugen and Tokoshie with Hyde for the fourth season of Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, airing this summer.
I remember the last season having really impressive animation. Now, I've already read the manga, so I know, like, all the plots, but it's still pretty cool to go back to the anime to watch the old thing animated in their image the animators had in their own mind, like their own interpretation of it. The animation and the songs always add so much to the story, I should say, like especially with the Demon Slayer animators. I do believe they never disappoint, or they usually don't disappoint, so yeah. And this is again another pretty solid opening.
The songs and the art, because I'm seeing all the artwork on social media, makes me want to go and try and finish the anime that's already out. But I know there's a character that dies in like the movie, and I don't like it when characters die, so I haven't actually watched past the Mugen Train. Like, I didn't get to finish the movie, and so I just kind of stopped there. But I've been seeing all the spoilers on like Instagram, and I'm like, man, this stuff looks so good. So like, I don't know what's going on, but from what it looks like, and it's just my guess from like small clips I've seen, they're kind of introducing the rest of the Hashira, which I think is great when you can introduce all the characters. And I don't know if you like My Hero Academia or not. I know it's like 50-50 for some people, but...
It's alright. Couldn't really keep up with the manga.
Yeah. Sorry. I was just gonna say that that's something that My Hero Academia, I think, does well, is that show introduces all of the characters. Because I know a lot of shows, it's like, there's the main character, and then, like, your few side characters that just kind of appear every so often. So I love it when anime can focus on all the other side characters that are in the show. And so it seems like that's what Demon Slayer is trying to do.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the characters are pretty well done as well. Like, all the Ashura are pretty vibrant and solid, interesting personalities. So now we have more headlines from Japan. Our first headline says, rare case for women's health rights in Japan. The Tokyo District Court is handling a rare case this month from five women to legalize voluntary sterilization surgery, currently prohibited under Japan's maternal health law. The plaintiffs are seeking 1 million yen, which is roughly equal to $6,353 USD in damages per person. Under the law, voluntary sterilization such as hysterectomy or tubal ligation is prohibited unless the patient's life is at risk or if the patient has already given birth, and be subjected to a fine of 500,000 yen, which is roughly equivalent to $3,176 USD if the patient undergoes the surgery without her spouse's consent. The plaintiffs argued that the law is antiquated, and while women of reproductive age who choose not to have children are often blamed for contributing to Japan's rapidly declining population problem, the issue lies more with low migration, oppressive working conditions, and rising costs of childcare. Whenever we do a news episode, we have at least one headline that mentions the ongoing population problem in Japan, and some of the many causes of the issue were outlined in this headline, like this article, but yeah, it's a pretty complex issue.
It's something that I'm probably going to be touching on in my classes, because I'm going for my master's and I'm studying Japan, China, and Korea, and I think that's for one of my classes that's going to be a topic that I'm going to be looking at, because I think there's several factors as to like why the population is declining, and it is a mix of the cost it takes to raise kids. Also, the space, especially since a vast majority of the population is in cities, there's not a lot of space to do it. And there's also the, like, do you want to have kids? And so I know with parents who have kids, they're not having enough to, like, restock the mom and the dad. It's usually they have one kid, and then that one kid is then taking the place of two people when they pass on. And so So even if they are having children, it's not enough. You need it to have like three or four to be making a difference. Next up, Japan rehauls foreign worker training program. Japan's parliament enacted legislation on June 14th to replace the current skill development program for foreign workers to ease labor shortages across Japan. The specified skilled worker visa was introduced in 1993 to bring foreign workers from developing nations to fulfill roles in manufacturing, agriculture, machinery, nursing, and other sectors, but was criticized for not permitting workers to change jobs or stay in Japan long term, as well as labor and human rights abuses. The revised program will allow workers to change jobs after 1 year, provided that they met certain language and professional requirements and acquire a new Type 2 status for highly skilled foreign workers, allowing them to live in Japan permanently and bring family members to the country. The new scheme will also require organizations overseeing foreign workers to appoint outside auditors. However, the government also introduced a controversial new law that would allow permanent residency to be revoked if foreigners intentionally fail to pay taxes or health insurance premiums.
Our third song for the episode is Shonan Kaze Kaoru by Atarayo.
Machinami wa marude boku no kokoro wo utsushita yo datta nasakenai
That was Shonan Kaze Kaoru by Atarayo. Atarayo is a three-piece band founded in 2019. They began posting on YouTube in 2020, where they quickly caught attention, reaching number one on the LINE Music real-time ranking, number one on the Spotify domestic viral chart, and appeared on the First Take within 1 year, which is a pretty impressive achievement. I love the First Take.
Oh yes, the First Take is always fun to watch. Shonan Kaze Kaoru, Boy in the Summer Breeze, is their latest release from June 14, 2024. Their next album, Asatsuyu wa Homorebi ni Tokete, The Morning Dew Evaporates in the Sunlight Shining Through the Trees, will be released this September.
Well, this was the first time I've heard one of Atarayo's songs, but it seems like they're a relatively new group. But, I mean, have you heard any Atarayo songs before, or do you recall?
No, I don't think I've... I feel like the name seems familiar, like I must have seen it somewhere, but I don't recall ever hearing, like, a song of theirs. But if they're found in 2019, like, they are relatively new. Like, they've only been around for 5 years?
Wow, 2019 was 5 years ago. Time flies.
Well, hang on. They formed in 2019, but they began posting YouTube in 2020. So I guess their music has been out, like, less than that. For our fourth topic, we have music news. Several music festivals in Japan are scheduled for this summer, including Lucky Fizz from July 13th through the 15th in Ibaraki, Fuji Rock Festival in Niigata on July 26th and 27th, Summer Sonic in Chiba and Osaka on August 17th and 18th. This year's Summer Sonic Festival goers are now permitted to bring sports drinks into the venue after 110 attendees suffered heat stroke symptoms in 2023.
The idol group, produced by Yoshiki XY, released two new singles in June, YG and Get Stupid. The group is composed of 5 band members and 8 vocal and dance members. This marks the group's first release in 1 year. The group was formed on the music talent competition program, Yoshiki Superstar Project X, and featured celebrity guests, judges, including Gene Simmons, Sarah Brightman, Travis Payne, and Hyde.
Mika Nakashima has announced the release of the new song, Unfair, that will be featured in the anime Delico's Nursery. It is the first anime series based on Trump, the stage play series by Kenichi Sumitsu about a group of vampire aristocrats who grapple with child rearing. What did I just read? I just got caught on the based on Trump part. And about vampire aristocrats who grapple with child rearing. Like, this is a prime example of just Japan taking hold of stuff.
Yeah, well, moving on from that to our next song, we have Shokuzai by Sid. That was Shokuzai by Sid. Sid is a four-piece visual K-rock band that formed in 2003 and made their major label debut with Sony Music in 2008.
They have provided songs for popular anime including Fullmetal Alchemist, Bleach, Black Butler, and Magi. Last year, the band released Sid 20th Anniversary Box, a 15-CD set covering their history.
Shokuzai, meaning Atonement, is the band's latest release from May 29th to 2024 that was featured as the ending theme for the Spring 2024 anime Black Butler Public School Arc. The band also made their official debut with Monochrome Kiss for the first installment of the series in 2008.
Sid is one of my favorite anime bands. Like, every time I see an anime with a Sid song, I'm like, okay, it can't be a bad show.
Right, they do have a pretty impressive, I know, would you call that CV? Like, all the animes that they've been on are pretty high quality, so. Yeah, I see why you'd think that, and I agree.
Yes, now I know them best from the Magi series, because I think they've got like two or three songs alone in that one series. I know the Black Butler opening, the Monochrome Kiss, is kind of like what made them very popular, especially since Black Butler's a very famous anime. And on to our last topic, we got fun news. Up first, we have the Dodgers Hololive Night. Fans of Hololive VTubers can tune in on July 5th to watch Hoshimachi Suisei, Usada Pekora, and Waragura featured during a Los Angeles Dodgers game scheduled to take place on Friday, July 5th at 7:10 p.m. PDT. The livers will make announcements over the PA system. Attendees can get a pack of exclusive trading cards of the streamers, take photos with life-sized cutouts, enjoy a Hololive Night drone show, and purchase official collaboration merchandise at the Dodger Stadium. Guagura is scheduled to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. For listeners in Los Angeles, tickets can be purchased via the MLB's website with the offer code HOLOLIVE, H-O-L-O-L-I-V-E.
Wow, I really gotta go to LA now. Suisei, Pekora, and Guagura are, I guess, one of the most popular Hololive VTubers out there. Three of the most popular VTubers out there from this company. So, yeah, pretty cool collaborations they have going on.
So I'm not a VTuber watcher. What's Hololive?
It's like a company that produces VTubers, basically. They give people these characters and they like the model and the backstory and all that. And then they promote them and produce music for them, and they have collaborations between their own VTubers as well. And they're like generations of VTubers. Like, Suisei, Pekora, and Gagra are one of the older ones, relatively older ones.
Okay.
And they have all these different groups now coming out. They also have male VTubers now. And yeah, they basically stream on usually YouTube.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I heard Hololive and I was like, is this gonna be like a Fortnite thing? Or I still don't know what Fortnite is. Fortunately, I play very little games.
I guess Morty Calliope, the one that I mentioned, is also a part of Hololive. They have like VTubers who speak Japanese, but they also have VTubers such as Kura or Mori who speak English, so.
Okay, cool. I think that'll be a fun event for people who are into VTubing.
Our next headline is Guinness World Record attempt thwarted for longest chain of clasping wrists. On June 16th, over 45,000 people gathered in Chiba to beat a 2017 record set in Malaysia for the longest chain of people clasping wrists for at least 60 seconds in celebration of Chiba's 150th anniversary as a prefecture. They failed their attempt, however, when officials determined that they had only clasped hands for 57 seconds. Wow.
No, by 3 seconds.
When I first saw this headline, I was like, how does this attempt get thwarted if you have both these people standing there? But then I realized, yeah, probably something to do with the time being weird. Pretty unfortunate.
If I found out that we were thwarted by 3 seconds, I would say, okay, everybody lock back up. We gotta hold for another minute.
Yeah. Or you could just take those 45,000 people and walk to Guinness headquarters at this point, like protest the decision.
Maybe they can...
Just kidding, don't do that.
I think it was a fun idea for the 150th anniversary celebration. You can quadruple that number if like you go to like downtown Tokyo and like however many millions of people are in Tokyo, and then they all just hook up on the street crossing. Train Otoku overrun freight railway company memorabilia sale. The Japan Freight Railway Company, JR Freight, canceled a special sale on its rail yard in Omiya, Saitama, on June 15th for safety reasons after some fans ran and cut in line to grab nameplates, alarms, lights, and other rare train parts with prices ranging from 1,000 yen, which is like 635 USD, to 300,000 yen, around, I'm gonna round up, it's like $2,000. 100 people were waiting outside the event by 7:30 a.m. ahead of the 9:30 a.m. start time. By the time the event started, event goers removed tape, kicked pylons, and jaywalked on busy roads to rush inside.
Is jaywalking a thing at Japan too?
Yeah, so like, I think jaywalking's, I don't know a country that doesn't allow it, because it's illegal here too, I think. If you're on the left side of the road and you're trying to get to the right, rather than like actually using the crosswalk, like you need to go straight and then go, it's somebody just zigzags across. It's not really enforced here, unless I guess you're in a big city, because I see people in my state do it all the time, but it's not something safe to do.
Well, I think these train otaku people could be distraught over the news of Dr. Yellow being replaced.
Touche. That might you think Dr. Yellow is the train parts they're scattering out?
No, not necessarily, but if these people are so passionate about trains and train parts, then maybe they'd be sad.
We'll have another news headline: Dr. Yellow parts get distributed amongst train event goers.
Yeah.
Coming to you, 2027.
We have our last song of the episode, Metari by Baby Metal, featuring Tom Morello.
Let's go.
That was Metari by Baby Metal and Tom Morello. Baby Metal is a kawaii metal band that formed in 2010 and combines elements of heavy metal and J-pop. Its members include Su Metal, Moa Metal, and Momo Metal.
Metari was released on August 18th, 2023 and features guitarist Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. The phrase washoi used in the song is reminiscent of the synchronized chants heard at Japanese local festival Matsuri, particularly when holding a malanquin mikoshi to celebrate a local Shinto deity, Kami. Other calls like sore and dokosho are common in folk songs.
In 2016, Baby Metal's album Metal Resistance reached the highest ever entry on the UK charts for a Japanese act at number 7 on the UK midweek album chart and had the highest ever merch sales at Wembley Arena. In 2019, Baby Metal was the first Asian act to reach the top of the Billboard Top Rock Albums chart with their album Metal Galaxy.
Baby Metal frequently collaborates with international artists, most recently with German act Electric Callboy for the song Ratatata that released on May 23rd, 2024.
You know, I just really admire Baby Metal and I think they are pretty well-renowned in the metal scene, like the international metal scene.
I recently discovered them and only because I was following another artist and then they did a collab and I was like, okay, who's this like Japanese band they're doing it with, and then I rabbit holed and then found Baby Metal, and it's really cool that they have a specialty with collabs, because almost every song I've seen them sing, it's like there's a new person they've got like joining them on the song. And that concludes this month's news episodes. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening. Less than a week from now, Vicky and Andy will join you to bring a new Artist of the Month episode featuring a special female US Japanese punk rock band called Junkie 58%. This was episode 522, Japan Top 10 News Summer of 2024. Thank you for listening and take care.
Japan Top 10, the number one Japanese music podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.